All right, we're so excited today. This is going to be the last part of our installment of Salt and Light. This is the third part. And how important it is that we understand Jesus told us that we're salt, and he also told us that we're light. So there must be something in there, you know, if Jesus told us those things. And I know for a fact, you know, I've done electrical work in my life, and I like light. And as I get older, I really like light. You know, because you need more light, don't you, as you get older? If you young people don't know what we're talking about yet, but you'll find out as you get older, you just need more light. And I don't think we can ever get too much light, you know, when it comes especially to the things of God. And I don't think that we ever appreciate light as much as when a storm comes and knocks out the electricity. You know, usually what happens then is we're, especially if it happens in at night when it's in the dark, that fumbling around looking for a flashlight, only find out the batteries are dead and you got to find batteries. Has you ever had that happen? You know, praise God, you young people don't know what it's like, but LED really makes it easier. The LED bulbs don't eat batteries. Back in the old days, batteries went pretty quick in some of those old flashlights. And, you know, we find out that light is something that I believe that we all depend on in life. We really need it, you know, for everyday stuff. And, you know, we live in a world that I think is looking for light. And most people, if not many, try to find light in artificial sources. You know, I thank God we have artificial light right now. This is artificial light. But there's nothing better than real light. Light from the sun, right? And there's nothing better than the spiritual light that we get from the Lord Jesus Christ, because he is the Son, the S-O-N of God. And we all need that in our life. The passage that we've been looking at is Matthew chapter 5, verse 13 to 16. This is found in a couple places in the Gospels, but it says, first starting out, it says, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has become tasteless, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men." Then it goes on to say, "You are the light of the world, a city on a hill which cannot be hidden. Nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and gives light to all those who are in the house." Then he goes on to say, "Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for the opportunity you've given us to come here. We live in a country where we can just express our love and adoration for you freely. Lord, I thank you so much for the anointing to be here, Lord. The anointing that breaks every yoke of bondage upon our life. Because we know the Bible says that he who the Son sets free is free indeed. Lord, help us to open up to the things of the Spirit. Lord, I yield to the gift you put inside of me. I want to use it for your glory. And Lord, I pray for words that both pierce and penetrate to leave my lips. And again, for the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation. We just want to flow with you. And we bind Satan from trying to steal the word in any way, shape, or form. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, last week, or really 2 weeks ago, we kind of went through the passage in Colossians and it went on into salt. And then last week, we talked about salt quite a bit, how important salt is in our life. Okay? Now, like I said last week, salt gets a bad rap. Granted, it may cause some health issues to some degree, but without salt, we couldn't really get along in a lot of ways. Salt was very important, especially when it comes to being a preservative and things like this. And so salt speaks about our inward character and how we are to influence a decaying world. Well, we're going to look at light today that speaks about our outwardly testimony and how we need to point to Jesus. Okay? There's a lot of nice people in this world, and I know many of them. But some of them don't give glory to God. The light that they shine is their own light. It points to them and what they do. But, you know, here it says that we're supposed to point to Jesus. Our light is supposed to, you know, influence the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, you cannot be a Christian unless you're born again. To reiterate, last week we looked and mentioned that Jesus Christ, or God the Father, shall we say, the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, you know, they have no grandchildren. They only have children. And it's not because of maybe you had somebody in your family that was a spiritual giant in your life. Maybe it's your grandma. A lot of people tell me it's their grandma was a, you know, she went to church all the time, and, you know, and they somehow they think that's going to get them in heaven, but it's not. It's by our own decisions. See, that's what the gospel and what the free will that God has given us, that we each have a choice. And choices are important. I don't know about you, ever made a bad choice? I have, and I've had to eat it. Sometimes bad choices cost a lot of money. You know what I'm saying? Have you ever done that? You know, I've invested in some things that just didn't pan out. You know, put some time in too. But, you know, we want to see that, you know, we want to make the good choices, and we're going to try to look at light right now. Now, first point I want to look at is the idea that light is a revealer. Light is a revealer. You know, think about it. Where would we be without light? In the dark. That was simple, wasn't it? Where would we be without light? We'd be in the dark. You know, dark's okay if you want to go to sleep, but if you're trying to get something done, darkness doesn't really work. You know, like I mentioned, when a storm hits sometimes and, you know, things kind of unravel, especially, you know, it's worse in the wintertime when you lose your electricity and things like that, you know, for the furnace and things. But, you know, primarily you're in the house, you're groping around and trying to find something. And, you know, we just take light for granted. You know, everybody just, you know, looks at that light switch and they really don't know what really goes on behind the scenes. There's a lot of stuff that goes on, excuse me, before you hit that light switch. See, light's main job is to chase away darkness. That's what it does. Where does darkness go? I don't know. It just leaves. And see, there's a spiritual truth in that. When we shine the light of God, darkness flees. A lot of people think the devil has a little more power than he should get. Amen? You know, God, you know, gave us the authority. And that's our authority as a believer, that we bring the light of God to a lost and dying world. We show the way. You know, we need to let our light shine. See, darkness is the world's default setting due to sin of Adam, okay? You know, that's just the way the world is now. Due to that sin, that poor decision that Adam and Eve made in the Garden of Eden, where they chose to partake of something God said they wasn't supposed to, out of all the trees, there's thousands of trees probably in the garden, and right close to it was the tree of life where they could have ate and had life forever, but yet they chose the tree, you know, that they wasn't supposed to eat in. And when they did that, it brought sin and darkness to mankind, that we live in a dark world. And I don't know what it's like about you. I mean, I had a good time before I was a Christian in some ways, but I was full of darkness. You know, darkness ruled my life in some ways. And see, it's important that we see the fact there's a change. You know, that's why, you know, the Bible says we're transferred or translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his Son, which is light. Amen. So you leave one state to another. It's not a go in between thing. You know what I mean? You know, you just don't, you know, quit something in your life and then that's it. But you're actually put into a new kingdom, the kingdom of light. And we are crusaders, shall we say. We're knights. We're the people that go forth and to be able to proclaim the excellency of God. God has given us the responsibility in our life to go and reach a lost and dying world. Yes. And that's what we do. We just bring light to Him. We're light bearers. And, you know, when Satan, when the people fell, Adam and Eve, you know, Satan became the god of this world, little g. And see, as the god of this world, he kind of calls the shots in some ways. We know that Jesus defeated him at the cross, and that's what we're going to be celebrating here in a couple weeks. But we should celebrate that every day. But still, Satan tries to exert influence on each and every one of us. People that we love, he's hurting them. He's putting them down. And we need to see the fact that we're more than overcomers. See, he blinds people, and he causes them to go through life. And it's very hard to watch sometimes, especially see somebody you know that you really want to see, you know, come to Christ, but yet they're groping through life. It's kind of like at our house, we have our garage that's attached, and there's a, you know, 25-foot hallway, 20-foot hallway, I don't know how far it is. And there's a light switch right when you go through the door, but we usually don't turn that one on. I don't know why we don't hit that switch all the time. We try to make it all the way to the kitchen. You know what I'm saying? Well, on that hallway wall is a bunch of pictures of our nieces and nephews. And there's a couple of them don't have glass in them no more. They drew the short straw. They are right by the light switch. And we're going in there and we're trying to reach around. We're just groping and we're knocking stuff off the wall and everything. You know, just trying to find that light switch. But there was one on the other end, but we never hit that light switch. I don't know why. you know, to this day. And, you know, it's unfortunate those two, what's mostly a nephew that got the worst end of the deal. He gets knocked off there quite a bit. But, you know, it's just how it is. We grope through life trying to find light, and it's hard to find. You know, I look for light or life in a lot of different places before I came to Christ. I thought these things were going to give me life. You know, I tried them out. I did them. Some were very fun, but they left me empty on the inside. They weren't fulfilling. And see, that's the fulfillment that we get with God, because a life without God is really hopeless. You know, it's hopeless because there's no eternity. There's no future. You know, when you have a life without God, the end is death. It's when you die, when you take your last breath, that's the end. It's over. You know, you cannot see past that moment. But see, a life with Christ, a life with with God, our Father, we can see past death. We can see on into the next realm, in a sense, where we're going to spend eternity, and that's with Him. And see, that's important. We see, it takes a lot of pressure off in our life. You know, there's so many people trying to squeeze so much out of this life that's not really there, and they're going to end up short in the end. See, God said in the beginning, let there be light, and see, when light shows up, we know that darkness hits the door. It leaves. It has to go somewhere. See, the only reason that you and I, Jesus calls us light of the world, I don't know, have you felt like light all the time? You know, maybe you wake up out of bed and you just kind of, oh man. Man, I don't feel like a light today. You know, when I was a kid, we used to have a saying, it's kind of trash talking your friends. You know, we'd tell them that you're about as bright as a burned out light bulb. You know, I don't know where that came from, but we used that back in elementary school. That was our thing. You know, I don't know, maybe even carried on a little longer. But, you know, Jesus says in John chapter 8, verse 12, He said, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. All we have to do is follow the light. All we have to do is follow Jesus and walk with Him and to be able to see that light that He wants us to shine through to everybody around us. And see, the way that we do it is very simple, is just to follow the light. You know, have you ever followed a light? I mean, I used to do a lot of coon hunting as a kid. And, you know, you if you don't have a light, you walk into a lot of problems. You know what I'm saying? You have to be able to see. And you have to follow that light ahead of us. And it's important that we do that. It's like a lighthouse. I've never done a lot of stuff out in the ocean and stuff, just a little bit. You know, I've been on a few through things, but, you know, a lighthouse, you know, in our day now, they got a lot of communication stuff they can use, but, you know, back in, you know, before all that stuff took place, they would place this lighthouse, you know, out there, and then when a ship was coming in, they could see its light, and they know that, number one, hey, land's coming, you know what I'm saying? But also, that lighthouse would warn them sometimes of stuff that's underwater that you can't see. Those things that if a boat runs into, like a reef or some rocks or something like that, it would cause damage and cause the boat to sink. So we need that lighthouse out there, and I want you to see yourself as a lighthouse for a lot of people. And see what happens, that's why Jesus said, let your light shine. Because if we don't let our light shine, people can't see the way to go. You know, Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. That's a lot of pressure, ain't it? I mean, it makes me think, am I leading people the right direction? You know, am I pointing them to the way they need to go? And important, how important that is. You know, I do know this, that I do not wear a Christian t-shirt unless I'm really mean in business. You know what I'm saying? You know, I don't put Christian bumper stickers on my truck. Of course, it's probably fall off the bumper, but, you know, probably hold it together. But, you know, if you don't want to be a light, be careful about your advertising. You know what I'm saying? You know, if you're going to be yelling at your wife in public, don't wear a Christian t-shirt. You know, share, Jesus loves me and I love you. Man, if you can't love your wife, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, we need to kind of turn that around. I do some marriage counseling here, do I? Must have hit a nerve, right? No, it happens, right? I'm preaching to me. Believe me. You know. But anyway, so what light will reveal that hidden danger in light. And next point I want to look at is the idea that light, how important it is, because it's enlightener. You know, it talks about having a city on a hill and a lamp on a lampstand. You know, when I used to live in Denver, and I'd come home and you'd be driving through the parts of I'd be eastern Colorado. It's pretty desolate. You know what I'm saying? There's towns are really far apart, and you look out and it's just brown and kind of weird. You just don't understand. But then all of a sudden, I can't remember where it was, but you peeked over this hill. All of a sudden, the city of Denver lit up. You could see the lights way far away. And I knew I was almost home, because that light shined. And see, that's what Jesus is saying here. You know, he didn't say, hey, take your light and go down in the valley where there's darkness. Now, sometimes we do that. We go into dark places, you know, to preach the gospel. But here he said, I want you to put your light up on a hill, because I want everybody around to see that light. Meaning that we are to be put as a spectacle for the whole world to see. That's the Christian life. And, you know, for some Christians, they say, well, you know, I'm not, you know, I don't, you know, eh. But really, we're supposed to live a life. I mean, I know we don't compete with the world in some things, but I do know this. I had a lot of misinformation myself about what a Christian was before I became one. I really thought Christians were kind of boring. You know, I knew I wanted to marry a Christian girl. I did know that. I had weird thinking back then, you know. I mean, I knew I wanted to find a Christian girl, but I didn't want one yet. You know what I mean? But when I found Jesus, or I guess he found me, I was the one with lost, he wasn't. You know, then once I really come to know him, it totally changed everything about what my view is about Christianity, about the joy of the Lord and how important that is. How important it is that we shine, you know, that joy of the Lord to the world, and how Jesus can bring fulfillment to our life, because really that's what we're looking for. I mean, most people want to be fulfilled. You want to have a happy life, right? You know, some say happy wife, happy life. I mean, that could be true. I don't know. But to me, it's when we find the joy of Jesus coming into our life and allowing that joy to come out. It's a sense of fulfillment, a sense that, you know, of completion, you know, that we've come into right relationship with God, and that we have that relationship with him, and we don't have to strive or push anymore. See, God wants us to let that light shine, because we as Christians are to live in the life of public arena. You know, the world is telling us to shut up and stay in this building. It's telling us that, you know, don't go out there and try to influence me with what you have to say. You know, but Jesus tells us to. You know, they tell us to hide in here. You know, keep that hand raising, that clapping to yourself. You know what I mean? But Jesus tells us to go out and hit to the highways and byways and to compel them to come in. Jesus wants us to reach the world. Amen. So if we're going to reach the world, we need to have a plan. You need to have a plan. I need to have a plan. You know, some churches in the old days, you know, they would say, well, it's the pastor's job to reach people. Well, that's not what the Bible says. We know it does. It says it different. It says in Ephesians 4 that a pastor is supposed to train to be able to help you to do the work of the ministry. Some of the greatest fulfillment you're going to have is when you roll up your sleeves and you get involved with Jesus. Amen. Simple as that. You know, when I got saved, fortunately for me, you know, I say this in kind of a weird way, but I didn't have a lot of church in me when I got saved. So when I got saved, I didn't know you wasn't supposed to do nothing. You know what I mean? I just thought, hey, I got saved. I'm thankful. I love Jesus. Look what he did for me. I want to do something for him. So I got involved. And I found fulfillment with that involvement with my local church. I ushered. I taught classes. You know, I started off with three-year-olds, like I've always said, you know, and did that for like a year. And, you know, I just wanted to get to know Jesus, and I found out something really revolutionary, that when I get involved, Jesus gives me more revelation, because I need it. And I want to challenge you with that today. To get involved, to do something for Jesus, and do it for his glory, and you're going to find out Jesus is going to start to put things in you, because you're going to need him. You know, and that's important that we see that. You know, the illumination and how important it is that, you know, illumination comes by revelation. We need that revelation knowledge. And it's important we do that. Ephesians chapter 8 or 5, verse 8 and 9, it says, "For you were formerly darkness." Everybody was, right? We're dark. Nobody was born a Christian. We're all burned out light bulb. You know what I mean? But then it says, "Now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth." So goodness, righteousness, and truth. You know, sometimes we just study the Bible to know information. You know, information about the Lord, and we look to the Scriptures, you know, so that we may know Him intimately. That's what we need to be doing. That's revelation. A lot of people just have a lot of information about God. They can tell you, they've even studied all the way back to the maps. You know what I'm saying? They can do those maps. But I tell you, it doesn't matter if how much information we have, but it comes back down to the intimate relationship we have with Jesus Christ. Amen. The importance of coming to know Him like He's a friend. I just don't know about Jesus. I know Jesus. Jesus has touched me. You know, He's touched me on the inside. Jesus made me cry. Can you believe that? Jesus made me cry, but it wasn't cry of pain. It was cry of joy, knowing that He was healing me and He was touching me on the inside. And as I did that, things, the weights just started to lift off of my life, and it was so awesome. Things that I've been carrying with me, curses, words that have been spoken over me, death, people telling me I'm not good enough, all went away because of revelation of Christ. Of knowing who I am in Christ. And that's the same for you. Don't let anybody tell you you're not good enough. Amen. Don't let anybody tell you that you're not going to make it, because I'll tell you what, with Jesus Christ, all things are possible. Guaranteed. And as we get to know Him, your life's going to change. And God's going to start to use you and start to work through you, and things are going to start to happen, and then the joy of the Lord is going to be your strength. And then you're going to start to see things happen, and God's, you know, how could God use little old me? But He does. And then when that happens, you know, it's just amazing. See, that revelation bears the fruit of goodness, righteousness, and truth. I mean, we've got to have, our walk has to be right, but then also we got to speak the truth. Speak the truth in love. You know, I don't go out picking a fight, you know, if I talk about Jesus, but I do know this, that the truth will set you free. Knowledge of the truth. Not just the truth in the book. You know, when I used to do a lot of evangelism in other countries, I know one country told me, the people told me how spiritual they were. And they said, "Oh, how do you figure that?" And he says, "Well, you know, my Bible is in my bookcase. And once or twice a week, I take it out and I kiss it. And then I put it back. That's how much I love God's Word." Hello. Kissing, you can kiss your Bible till your lips are chapped. You're not going to be free. You got to get that Word inside of you.
Amen.
You got to let the Word of God come in you. And that was the greatest thing, because I always thought the Bible was too hard to understand. But I'll tell you what, if you pay attention long enough, you're going to learn something. Amen? If you just keep reading it and keep putting it in, you're going to start to see God start to change your life. Because what happens is, it's talking about life change, and that's what it's all about. Jesus didn't come just to make us better. Jesus came to make us new. He came to give us that revelation that we all need. And see, this is, you know, revelation knowledge brings a new way of thinking and a new way of living. You know, once we come to Christ, we think different. We live different. You know, all these things are just because we become born again and our spirit has become alive unto God again. And we have a better connection with the Father. Granted, God speaks to sinners, because I know God spoke to me. And I know before you knew Christ, God spoke to you, right? Trying to lead you and guide you. But God's best is to be born again. And then through our spirit, you know, we're a spirit, we have a soul, we live in a body. And then God is a spirit, and He speaks through our spirit, and He wants to lead us and guide us and bring us in that path of righteousness. You know, how I like to, I don't like to think about it, but this is what it really is. You know, life is kind of like a minefield. You know, there's things hidden under the dirt. And unless you know where they put the mines, you don't know. And you could make one wrong step and boom, right? But see, by knowing Jesus, by following the Holy Spirit, He can lead us and guide us through the problems of life. and get us to the destination we want to be. But we have to be willing to follow him. We have to be willing to surrender to him and to let him to take control of our life. And, you know, sometimes letting somebody else drive is scary, right? You know, have you ever let somebody else drive? Ah, why? You want to be in control. You want the brake, don't you? You want the gas pedal and you want the brake. You know, you want to either speed up or you want to stop. But when you let some, unless you got a driver's ed car, then you got a brake on your side, I think. At least ours did back in the day when I was learning. And I remember the teacher, you know, kept trying to push at that brake, you know, sometimes if he's going too fast around a corner. But see, it's hard to give somebody else control. But see, that's what Jesus wants us to do, is to let him have control of our life. And when we do that, then we start to flow with him and follow him. Now, there's ways that we kind of hide the light. And I'm going to share a couple here just so we know not to do them. Amen. Number one is to be quiet when we should speak. If we do that, we're hiding the light. You know, we don't speak out at every situation. I know that, because if you did, you'd probably never have another friend, right? You know, but there is times when we feel, you know, God's going to touch you and you're going to feel a little thing. Hey, I need to say something here. You know what I mean? I think God wants me to say something. You know about this. Well, you got to do it. That's the best way. If not, we're hiding our light. See, the benefit of Christianity over any other religion is that we have God living inside of us. God, the Holy Spirit, has come to live inside of us. And to be honest, it's a process where you and I are learning to hear his voice and to follow his leading. It takes a little bit of, you know, effort on our part in a sense that we start to practice that. But when, as we do it, it gets easier. Nobody's 100%. I'm not saying I am. I would never lead you to believe that. But I do know this. I'm a lot better than I used to be. You know, how many here are a lot better than they used to be at following God? Amen? It just takes a little effort, doesn't it? It takes a little practice. There's opportunities out there. Number two is when we go along with the crowd, when we should step out and step away from the crowd. You know, a lot of people want to fit in. And that's normal. Normal behavior. You want to fit in. And there's a lot of statistics. I could go into a bunch of psychobabble about it that I've researched a little bit, but we don't need to do that today. I think most of us would probably say that, you know, a lot of people, you know, just want to go with the flow. Nobody wants to make waves. But, you know, waves is where it's at sometime, ain't it? Glory to God. We got to make waves. And so we need to step out sometimes and not be a follower, but God wants us to be a leader. Number three is if when we allow sin to dim our witness for Christ, okay? If we don't, you know, obey God and start walking in the ways that he wants, and granted, we can easily fall temptation. You know, temptation's out there. God says he'll provide a way of escape in 1 Corinthians, I think, 10:13. But sometimes we just go on in it, and what happens? That dims our light. And then that makes it harder for people to see us because of some of our life choices. And then number four is deny the truth that has been revealed to us. Now, you know, I like to explain it a little bit about like in school. I mean, you don't start out in the fifth grade, right? You usually start at kindergarten or even have preschool. I didn't have preschool when I was a kid. That's how old I am, you know. They never even thought of preschool yet. But, you know, you usually start at kindergarten and then you go through and you grow, right? Well, you know, a teacher, you know, a sixth grade teacher doesn't go up to a kindergarten and tell them to do some algebra, right? You know, they can't even get the numbers and letters on the page sometimes. You know, no. They do it according to where their growth is. And I think, you know, a lot of times that's how God deals with us. You know, where we're at now. And see, that's the glory of the Holy Ghost. In this congregation right now, we have people of varying levels of growth in their walk with Christ. I can preach this message with full confidence, knowing that the Holy Spirit is the buffer, that he's going to help somebody who's early in their journey, as well as somebody who is long in their journey, and he's going to give them something out of it. You know what I mean? I have confidence in that, because that's how God works. So no matter where we're at. Now, if you have a 16-year-old child still in the third grade, you know what I'm saying? You know, you're not where you should be, right? We need to be over here now. So my challenge is, don't get comfortable where you're at, because there's no fun in comfort. The fun is where we grow. That's where we experience more depths of God. That's where he wants us to be. Like I always say, a lot of people like staying in the baby pool. I know what happens in that pool. I don't want to be in the baby pool no more. I want to go out where the deep water is, you know, where I know it's fresh and clean. So keep growing with God no matter where you're at. Don't get discouraged. Don't look at somebody else and think they have it all together, because nobody has it all together. We're all in a growth process. Just hang in there and pay attention. Hang around Christians with like precious faith. Put yourself in a position to receive from God. You know, we have opportunities on Wednesday night with Bible studies. We do freedom class. We do different things to help you in your growth. And that's what it takes to really head out into the deeper water. And that's where the fun's at. Now, you know, the last point I want to see is the idea of light is reflected. Light that is reflected, okay? I want to use the example. I've used this before. You know, you got the sun and the moon. You know, back in early days, before they had a little better information, they thought the moon had its own light. They had no way of proving it didn't. But we know different, don't we? You know? We know that the only way the moon can shine is because the sun is hitting it. And then it reflects. And that's how it works for you and I with God. It says, put yourself in a position, you know, that your light may shine. Now, every now and then, there's an eclipse, right? What happens when an eclipse happens? Well, the world gets between the sun and the moon. And when it does that, the moon can't get the light. And see, it's like that with our journey with Christ. If we allow the world and the world system to get between us and Jesus, we cannot reflect like we're supposed to. You know, there's a quarter moon, half moon. How many want a full moon? Amen? We want the full moon. But see, to do that, we can't allow the world to get between us and God. We have to stay where he can reflect his glory, because there's a reason for that. God put us down here and left us down here because he wants us to be light bearers. He wants us to shine that light. Amen. He wants us to shine that light so people can come into the kingdom. You know, God doesn't desire for any people to perish and to go to hell. That's not his first plan. Hell was created for the devil. But you know, the devil is the god of this world. He's blinded eyes, and people who choose to reject Christ, reject the free gift, and by it's like this. You know, how does people reject the life of Christ or the love of Christ? Well, if I had this here, and let's say this had living water, and I drank all my water, but if I handed this glass out to you, I'm giving you the water of life. But if you never take it, it's not yours. I'm holding it here. Jesus is, many people have left Jesus hanging. You know what I mean? He's reaching out. He's saying, here, I want you to have this life. I want you to have the life that I came to give you. But just by not taking it is rejecting it. And it's important that we understand how we need to receive it for ourselves. Yes, that's mine. I take that. It's mine. I want that new life. I want what Jesus has for me. And that's why Jesus said, let your light shine in such a way. And so we need to put ourselves or position ourselves so that our light is always points to Jesus. That means the choices that you and I make, the people that you and I hang out with, the places that you and I go, we need to be mindful of the fact that are we putting ourselves in a position to lead others to Christ? See, we will get missional, and that's our mission. We will get missional when we see the position God has placed us. Once you understand where Jesus Christ has put you as a ruler and a reigner with him, you know, he's caused us to rule and reign. He's called us out of that darkness into that marvelous light, and he wants us to go out and to spread that gospel to everybody. And so we need to start to celebrate what God has done in you and I. And see, it's the our good works are to glorify God. See, good works are not for self-glorification, but to glorify God. You know, we don't do nice things just to, you know, get a pat on the back or, hey, well, hey, good job, buddy. You know, we don't do it for that. We do it because I want to point to Jesus. I want to point to Him and what He has. And see, when people see us, do they really see what we have? And this is what we have to do. This is what we got to let shine. Number one, we need to let peace shine. You know, peace in the face of all opposition. You know, you and I face a lot of problems in life. Sometimes there's more month than money, right? Sometimes there's stress at work. Sometimes it's just, you know, maybe not getting along at home. All these things are there. But you want to freak somebody out? Be at peace. Don't enter in. Don't get stressed out. Don't allow those things to take away your joy. And that's how we start to let that light shine, when people see what we have is powerful. Number two is joy. Joy that no matter what the circumstances. You know, joy is greater than happiness. Happiness sometimes is based on situation, but joy comes from God. And when we're joyful, the joy of the Lord is our strength, then we start to lead people to Christ. And lastly, like we know, it's that love that never fails. Love never fails. Like I always say, when you walk in love, and I'll be honest, I don't walk in this kind of love all the time, but you will never get hurt. Never get hurt again. Nobody can ever hurt you again when you walk in the love of God, that agape love, the agape love where Jesus Christ gave Himself for others. Now you may say, well, when it comes to where I'm at with Christ, I'm more of a kindergartner than I am a 12th grader. That's okay. Even the littlest of light stands out in darkness.
Amen.
You don't have to be a flamethrower. Even a match that's lit in darkness gives light.
Yes.
Just a small match. So start with that. Let and reflect Jesus' character. Be mindful that what we do is going to, and what we say is going to be interpreted by those around us. Be mindful of that. Be genuine every day of the week. And lastly, share our faith. See, remember purpose. Salt was created to be salt. Light was created to be light. And we were created to glorify God. That's why we're here. And we can bring the light to those around us. Let's pray.